Parental advisory warning. Carlosophies, provoking thought and liberating people from their own bullshit since 2015. First time here? Hit subscribe. You'll want to stick around.
Woes of a voiceover artist slash podcaster. When you open up your computer, hit record, and the neighbor starts with a chainsaw. Or something. Maybe it's a leaf blower. Anyway, I don't know if you can hear it in the background, but if you can, apologies. But I'm not going to stop because that's not how I roll. Today I want to talk about why I'm not prescriptive with anyone. Not prescriptive with my friends, not prescriptive with my clients, not prescriptive in the work that I do. And I wanted to talk about this a bit because, you know, we live in this world that is really prescriptive and it's like, this is your pain, here is the solution. And those solutions don't take into consideration any of our individuality. You know, they don't take into consideration that we all learn differently and that we all have different experiences and beliefs and all that kind of shit that makes us and then our unique structure as a human. We're not all built the same. We all process in different ways. And so I will never come with a prescription other than let's find what works for you. And a big piece in this, I mean, you know, I've been doing personal development on myself like for years. I mean, I remember reading, and it probably wasn't my first personal development book, but I remember reading, personal development when I was like 17 and 18, and then kind of went through party mode through my 20s and ended up with depression at kind of 30. And then since then have really been on this personal development journey or self-inquiry journey more than development. It's really just been about learning who I am again and what makes me me. And yeah, and so it's been, well, like 12 years of me solidly working on myself, starting with healing and then self-inquiry and then, you know, like it just goes on and on. Trial and error, lots of trial and error. And eventually, a couple of years ago, I came across human design. And you're probably like, oh my God, turn this off now because I just don't want to hear it. She's always bringing in this human design thing. What the fuck is she talking about? And I thought, like, I haven't actually spoken too much about it in length or in depth because I've only really been exploring this for the past couple of years since I had a reading with Roz Isbell, who you can check the back catalogue for an interview with her about human design. But it's been really interesting for me. And before you kind of think, oh, maybe it's a cult or maybe it's just another personality test, it is kind of, it's not really a cult, but it's a tool for learning to know yourself, right? And learning to know who you are inherently. And you can buy into it or not. You can put as much weight on it as you like. You know, I like to run everything through my bullshit filter and I have a very strong bullshit filter. And this one has kind of come up good for me. So, but even if you don't want to explore human design, I want to talk about why, what it's brought up for me and what I've learned from it that doesn't really have anything to do with, you know, you going out and, you know, exploring it yourself. The thing that I love about it is that it highlights exactly what I've been kind of working out over the past 42 years, which is we are all so different. And this is why prescriptive formulas don't work, because it'll work for you if you're the same as the other person. But we are all individuals and we all work differently. And so what I'm about and where human design fits into this is I've always been about knowing what's right for me and helping you know what's right for you, because I don't believe there is one approach to fit all. One size does not fit all, even in clothing. Let's be real. Have you ever tried on one size? I never fit into it and I'm like a 14 to 16. So if it's one size, shouldn't it be more inclusive than just like, you know, size 6 to 12? I think so. Anyway, not going to, you know, get into the plus size stuff right now. But, you know, it is that idea that there is no one size fits all in anything. And it's why I'm always saying for me. This was something that I learnt in, you know, my first therapy sessions when I was like 30, was that I did group therapy, and the psychotherapist had said to us, I don't want you to use the word you. You know, when you know, like, no, because it's not their experience, it's yours, and you have to own it. I have to own it. We have to own it. So whenever I'm talking, I feel like sometimes it can sound like it's all about me, and it is, because it is all about me. And you will see parts of yourself in me, but it's not my job to project my shit onto you. I've got this saying that I say quite regularly, and it was reflected back to me a few times in the last week, so I put an Instagram post together on it. And that is, check yourself before you project yourself, right? Like, so often we will be talking, and I see this, I'm speaking collectively now, you know, I see in conversations, a lot of people do that. A lot of people go, you know, when you do this, and when you, and when you, and when you, and it's like, no, it's when I, we have to take ownership and responsibility of our own experience and stop projecting it on other people. And so the way human design has fitted into this for me has been a confirmation that we are all very different, and that the things that we shame ourselves for are often things that are just in our makeup, right? So a prime example of this is, if I give you, like, I'm going to use human design speak, but it doesn't really matter because I'll explain what it means too, right? So I'm a projector, which means that I'm one of 20% of the population, roughly, who's here to guide. No real surprises there, right? Like, I'm here to guide others. I'm not here for me. I'm actually here for you. And I do that due to my actual chart and the makeup of who I am. I do that through speaking my truth, sharing my story, sharing who I am with the world. And as a projector, my job is really to guide you through questions, which, hello, I've been doing for years. And that's something that I do naturally, and it's a part of who I am. So learning that I was a projector was a really amazing experience for me, particularly when I learned that my strategy is to wait for invitation. And I haven't waited for invitation here, which is why this is either going to land with you or it's not. If you recognize me, then it'll land. And if not, that's totally cool too. And if you, and like I said, like, I'm not trying to sell you human design here. I'm just kind of explaining why we're all different, and why it's okay for us to be different, and why I do this work in the world, and why I don't prescribe. So as a projector, our strategy is to wait for the invite. So we literally have to wait. If I project my thoughts or my, you know, my advice on people, and I haven't been invited, it falls on deaf ears. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. I'm also not here to initiate stuff. I'm not here to start projects and make shit happen. It's just not what I'm here for. I'm here to guide you. Well, it depends on who you are. Well, yeah, but anyway, you know, like, manifestors are the people who can initiate. There are generator types, which are here to kind of do, they're like the worker bees. They can do all the work, and they can create, and they can do all the things in response to life. And then projectors are here to kind of guide that process. It's almost like, I see myself almost like a filtration system almost. So you come to me with all of your stuff that's kind of with you, and I kind of like hone the energy and create a focus for you, if that makes sense. And anyone who has worked with me will see, probably recognize that, right? Like, one of my clients the other day had said, I just, like, I feel like I come here, I don't even know what I want out of it. And then I start talking, and at the end, I've got a really, like, it's like you've kind of sculptured my energy into a focus. And that's kind of what I feel like I'm here to do, which is why this mastermind for podcasters is working really well for me. Because in the one-on-one, you come to me, I help refine and help guide, and then you go off and do the work and create the stuff. So So that's like my projectiveness, but there's this other element to me, which is a 1-3, and that's like my profile. I'm a 1-3 projector. So 1-3 means that I'm the investigator martyr. So what that means is I love to investigate stuff. I love to learn. I'm constantly, you know, soaking up information. If there's like something that's really hot right now or that I'm like called to, I become almost obsessive in my thirst for knowledge. So I will go out and, you know, when cryptocurrency was kind of starting to happen a few years ago, I just got totally into it. And I was like researching and learning all the things about cryptocurrency and all the things about trading. And, you know, I had like books and books on books on like, you know, trading the stock market. And I was just like obsessed about it and learning everything that I could. But then there's another element to me, which is the third line. And the third line is the try shit out. This is the experimenter in me. It's the person who needs to do the doing in order to do the learning. Like I can do all the knowledge consumption, but I've got to put it into practice in order to understand what works and what doesn't work. And I mean, you can see that in the way that I live my life, right? Before I discovered human design, this is the key and why I wanted to bring the human design piece in here. Before I had heard that I was a 1-3 and I understood that, I had shamed myself for being that person. I had shamed myself for being a person who just like jumps full in on something and like, you know, is like right into it and then kind of moves on. And it's my nature to do that. So once I had that understanding, it was like, oh my God, there's not something wrong with me. And that is such a gift, right? And then on my third line, the experimenter. It's like, what? So this isn't just me as a failure fucking up all the time. It's me actually living out my nature to try shit out and see if it works. And if it doesn't work, it's not because of me. Like with the Office Collective failing, my co-working space, which if you've been around here for a while, you'll know the full story. You know, I had seen that as my failure. I was the failure. People didn't like me. People didn't. It was just a big experiment and not one aligned with me being a projector. I'm not here to have the idea and like create this, you know, empire of like co-working spaces like I thought I was. I'm here to wait for an invite and then I can go about kind of creating, which is how I guess I've come to be in this place. Not through initiating, but through waiting to see what people wanted from me. And you know, like I operate from trust these days. So I will often, you know, I rarely put out a product. I just kind of sit, and not that I sit and wait. I go about living my best life and people come to me and ask me for things. Hey, do you do any coaching? Or hey, can you tell me how to, you know, whatever. And then I create almost like in collaboration with people. So they come to me, ask me for what they want. If it's something that I feel would be fun and aligned for me, then I'll respond by creating something off the back of that invitation, if that makes sense. So yeah, so there's another element to me too. So the thing with human design is there's like so many different layers. So many different layers. And 2 years in, I'm still just peeling back layer by layer by layer by layer, which is great for me because as someone who loves to investigate as the first line, this is my jam. Like I absolutely love things that are a never-ending onion because there's always something more for me to explore. There's always something more for me to learn and there's always something more for me to experiment. And this is the thing about human design. It's an experiment. You learn a few things about yourself that what I find in the, you know, I've had a few of my clients, we've been having some fun with it, just like exploring their design and giving them a few insights into their charts and stuff. Just basic level stuff because I'm not an analyst and I don't do readings or anything like that. I recommend Roz if you are interested in getting a reading, definitely reach out to Roz Isbell. She has a great podcast called Oils by Design. So if you're interested in learning a bit more, Then you can go just Google human design chart. You need your birth date, time, and the place or time zone where you were born. The time is kind of important, so you need to really kind of know what time you were born. And then you just go to this website called Jovian Archive, or you'll be sent there and you can do a chart. You don't have to put an email address or anything in like that. It'll pull the chart, and then go and have a listen to Roz's podcast to see, to learn a bit more about the elements of your chart, or have a reading with a human design analyst like Roz. So where was I? Oh yeah. So, you know, so there's all these different layers. So there's the fact that I'm a projector, which makes so much sense to me and has just given me permission to not try to initiate and make shit happen. Because when I do that, I fall into this place of resentment, like the world isn't seeing me. And if you've been around here a long time, you will know that about me. Like I have this almost like process where if I initiate something and it doesn't fly, I can fall into resentment and feel invisible. Feeling invisible has been one of the massive issues, I guess, of my life. And when I learned that that's just part of being a projector, if you're not living life on your, I would say on your frequency, but on, you know, to your strategy and authority, then that's the response. That's the way we respond to life, is with resentment and feeling unseen. For a projector, our main thing in life is we want to feel seen. And that just makes so much sense to me. And so then, so anyway, oh my God, I just like, there's so much that I want to say about human design, but I don't want this to be necessarily all about human design, because you will have a different chart to me. And some of this you'll be like, oh my God, that doesn't sound like me at all. Of course it doesn't, because it's not. You have a completely different chart and a completely different view of the world and a completely different way of operating, a completely different way of taking information and digesting it, a completely different way of a completely different path to success for yourself. And that is what this is about. It's not about human design. It's about owning that you are different to everybody else. You have similarities to everybody, but also a lot of differences. So for example, and the reason that this came up was I was thinking about meditation. I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw, I think it was Danielle Laporte talking about meditation. So for me, I've never really been someone who likes to sit and meditate. It's just never been something that has worked for me particularly well. And for a while there, I thought maybe it was just me, like something wrong with me, because meditation is something that apparently we're all supposed to do. We're all supposed to meditate daily, you know, amongst other things that we should be doing. But for me, it's just never really worked. And it's not because I can't sit and be still with myself. I actually really fucking enjoy my own company and I love being by myself. I relish in it. So it's not a problem with me, you know, sitting still, and it's just not something that it's just never felt like it really does anything for me. And while I was having a reading on another layer of my chart around variables, it became very apparent that that is not the way that I find presence. I'm not someone who can sit passively and be, you know, like it's just not in my design to be that kind of, to meditate in that way. For me, meditation is about finding presence, right? And I'm pretty sure that's what it's about for everyone. It's about being present in the moment and quietening the mind. Well, I actually have in human design an open head, which means that there's always kind of thoughts swirling around in there. And that's kind of okay. Often they're not even my thoughts. They're like, you know, some people say to me often, oh, it's like you're in my head. Well, I have an open head and you probably have a defined head. So I actually am in your head. It's like, you know, it's just the way I am. Like I can sometimes even, like, this is going to, don't think that I'm reading your mind or anything, but I can pick up on some people's thoughts at times. So And that's due to the nature of my open head. But my open head means there's always going to be thoughts kind of swirling around in there. It's the nature of who I am. And when I stop beating myself up for that, I can find peace, right? But also, I can be present. I can be present now, here, standing, talking. I can be present. Like, I practice presence all the time. It just doesn't look like sitting still with, you know, my legs crossed and or in lotus position or whatever. Like, that practice doesn't work for me. Being in my body and present in my body wherever I am has the same effect. So it's like that's what's wrong with these prescriptive, chuck everyone in one box kind of solutions, because we are not all the same. Not by a fucking long shot. So if meditation isn't, you know, we've got to look at these areas in life that we are prescribed ideas and then realize or recognize that that might be true for you or it might not be. And if it's not, that's okay. There's not something wrong with you. It might just be part of your design. It might just be something that doesn't really work for you. And that's cool. It's no reason to make it a story about how you're a shit human being and you're different to everybody else. We're all different to everybody else. The problem is not with the prescription or the problem isn't with you. It's with the prescription, you know, and in human design terms, there's like 70% of the population fall under the category of generator or manifesting generator. So those of you who are generators or manifesting generators have a lot more energy than someone like me as a projector, which is another thing I've shamed myself over the years for being lazy. I'm not. I just require more downtime. I require more sleep. I require more space from people. You know, it's not that there's something wrong with me physically. It's just who I have always been. I was always a kid who slept in. And when I accept that about myself, it makes it a lot easier for the people around me to also understand that that's just who I am. You know, it's why I have been so careful around my time, because when I, overcommit myself, I end up in shit places. I end up burnt out. I end up with glandular fever. You know, I don't need that. I haven't had adrenal fatigue that I know of, because I'm really specific around the ways that I use my energy, because it is a finite resource, right? With generators and manifesting generators, they have a little bit more energy. And they're also there to kind of respond to life. So you might be someone who's really into signs, right? Like looking around and seeing a sign. Well, that's because that's your part of your makeup. Your strategy is to respond. Signs, you know, people asking questions, you're here to respond. And you might find yourself better in situations where you're there, you can kind of like, yeah, respond to people. Where for me, like if I'm on a live, I'm totally distracted when people are asking me questions. I can't keep in my flow. But then I have friends who are manifesting generators, and when they're on a live and people are asking them questions, it just juices them up. It's like the thing, they're there in response. It's who they are. And I've spoken to friends who are in that, you know, manifesting generator, which is 70% of the population, or roughly. And they don't understand how I don't like get into signs. It just doesn't really mean anything to me. It's because I'm different, right? So this is the thing. I think when we become really concrete in the way that we see the world and the way that we see other people, and we start to try to put them into boxes, like it might sound like human design is putting yourself into a box, but what it's actually doing is like opening up the box. Because when you understand that everyone works differently, you can see then that that person who is kind of a chameleon and comes into situations and kind of molds their personality around the people that they're around, they probably have an undefined G center. So they don't necessarily really know who they are. They don't really have a defined sense of self. Me, I have a defined G. I actually do know who I am. I was just questioning who I was because of all the conditioning that I've experienced in my life telling me that I'm not who I am. I still knew that I was who I was. It was just that I was causing shame to myself around who I was, if that makes sense. So there's all of these, all of these elements to human design. But the key point is to remember that we are all different. And the moment that you try to put someone in the same box as you, you're doing yourself and the other person a disservice. The moment you start shaming yourself for not being who you should be, the should is conditioning, right? And I mean, conditioning is a buzzword right now, it feels like. We're all conditioned. And I find human design is a great tool to, it's like a tool for helping you to decondition yourself and see the potential of who you are. And it's freakish. It is freakish if you're open to it, right? So, yeah, so that's really today's episode. I wanted to speak a bit more about human design, but I really wanted to set this reminder that there is nothing wrong with you. If there's something that you feel like you should be doing in your life, have a think about why that is. And then have a think about what actually works for you. I mean, sometimes we're just so focused on what doesn't work that we can't really see that, you know. So for example, with that meditation example, right? Like sitting down in meditation doesn't work for me. Okay, so that's cool. Just like don't overthink it. Just like set it aside and think about what are the outcomes of meditation? What are people trying to achieve when they meditate? They're trying to achieve presence. They're trying to achieve a sense of self, a sense of, presence and peace. And they're also often trying to see things from the observer. Well, I do that every moment of the day. Not every moment because I'm not a fucking, guru in this space, but I am present. Most of the time, I've practiced presence enough that I still go on autopilot from time to time, but, you know, I could meditate daily and still be not at all present. Or I can practice presence in a day-to-day life when I'm active, and that actually works for me better than sitting in still meditation. Yeah, my mind would tell me that that approach is wrong because everyone else does this, or there's this prescriptive, notion that that is how it needs to look for us. Life doesn't have to look any certain way. Nothing that we're doing in our life is necessarily wrong, particularly if it's a pattern. So me as the experimenter, I had made all these stories up about why that was wrong. Imagine the freedom when I learn that's actually who I am and it's my superpower. Mind-blowing. Liberation, liberating. That's what that fucking felt like, liberation. And then I could be like, oh my God, yes. You know, the other thing that I've shamed myself about is not being able to commit to things long-term. So, I can't really think of anything worse than locking myself into a monthly recurring membership because I don't have the energy to sustain that. And it's not really, through learning this human design aspect, I know that I have a defined spleen and a lot of gates that come off my spleen. The spleen is like your intuitive center. And it's also about being in the now. I actually have a lot of stuff in my chart about being in the now. So once I knew that, I could actually go, oh my God, so there's nothing wrong with me not wanting to commit to things in a really long-term sense. If I'm willing to honor that this is who I am, I work in the now. So if something comes up now, then I do what comes up now, not locking myself in like that long-term 5-10 year planning just has never worked for me. Because what it's done is highlight how I just can't stick to a plan. But I don't have to because I'm not here to. I'm here to operate in the present moment. It's in my chart. I'm here to experience struggle and turn it into lessons for you guys. I'm here to learn all the stuff and experiment with the stuff. And then through my chart, there's like circuitry that kind of connects me from my self, center of self, my G center, my throat is defined, and my spleen is defined. And these three all connect. I'm here to share of myself through my voice. I'm here to share what is here now through my voice with you guys. I'm here to learn this stuff. I'm here to experiment with it. I'm here to experience the struggle of life and share that shit with you guys. Like, liberating. Liberating. So, I guess the invitation here for you is twofold, right? One, if you're thinking this could be something really cool worth exploring, just Google human design. Like, I'm not into dogma at all. I'm not into prescriptive approaches, right? But I am into tools that can allow us to free ourselves from our minds. And I found this a really effective tool in my, you know, massive toolbox. So if you're interested, Google human design and start your own little journey there, or get a foundation reading with someone like Roz. Listen to her podcast, pull your chart out, listen to your podcast, Google the things. What is a generator? What is a 2-4 profile in human design? What does gate, you know, so it's going to, when you get the chart, you're going to be confused as fuck, and that's okay. Definitely think about maybe getting a foundational reading. Or if you're like me and you love to explore and learn and try shit out, then just start Googling away or listen to Roz's podcast. And secondly, if you're not into human design and you like, fuck off, I don't want to hear any of this shit, you're speaking a foreign language, that's totally cool too. That was a big part of this podcast, but the essence of this particular episode is, look at you, like, liberate yourself from your bullshit. Have a look at the things that you have taken on to believe to be true about yourself, which have not that aren't fucking bad things, but they're actually your superpowers. And recognize that the way you are is different to everybody else. So what works for others isn't necessarily going to work for you, and that is okay. It is not meant to, because you are here as a unique human being to have a unique experience. And that will look different for everybody. So that was a huge one. Thanks for sticking around. If you made it to the end, I would love to hear what you thought about this. If you've got any questions, reach out to me. Jump in the Show Up Speak Up group if you've got any questions specifically related to this episode. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have about human design. I'm really interested in it, but I'm not sure that I'm going to go down the track of becoming an analyst or anything like that. But I do love to use it as a tool in the coaching that I do. If my clients are into it, it can help them, you know, see that things that they thought were wrong aren't necessarily. And in that freedom is, and I've said it a million times, liberation. Okay, that's it for today. Until next week, peace out. Want more me in your life? Head to carlinimo.com or find me on Instagram at carlosophies. But honestly, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about this podcast. Until next week, peace out.